Father, we thank you for another gathering together of your people. As it is written, unto you shall the gathering of the people be. Again, Lord, it is written that when two or three of us shall gather together in your name, that you will be present in the midst. So, Lord, we know that you are with us here. Even as we gather virtually, the Spirit of the Lord is with us. And we thank you, Lord, for the entrance of your word. We declare that it brings light and gives understanding to the simple, as it is written in the scriptures. Even so, let it be today to the glory of God. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. The last couple of days, we've been talking about favor. First, it was favor magnets and the king's favor to you everywhere. And then yesterday, it was still on the subject of favor magnets, but how to properly manage the favor of God. The essentials of favor management was what we discussed yesterday. Today, to wrap up this series on favor, I want to give a short exhortation, which I'm titling, Remember, It's God's Favor I Will Speak For You. Got to remember that. So we've been talking about favor, you know, how the favor of God comes upon some, sometimes even before people are born. We saw that in the scriptures. The election of God, or the purpose of God according to election by his favor. I speak things about some that were not even born. You know, sometimes the favor also will pass on to us because of our godly parents. And we who are righteous, it's the righteous seed also bringing forth righteous seed in our generations. The blessing passing from the Lord like that. The favor might pass like that. And then, you know, sometimes also through prayer. You know, we can pray for God's favor. Glory to God, you know. We pray for God's favor. The Bible actually does say that, you know, we can pray for God's favor. Well, how exactly does the Bible put it? It said we can pray for anything. If it's according to his will, he will grant it. So ask and it shall be given. You know, seek and you shall find. And knock and it shall be opened unto you. So it's good for us to also pray about favor. So we're going to talk about that a little bit, and also reminding us that God actually wants to favor us. He wants to favor you, and in situations where there's no other way out, it is going to be God's favor that will speak for you in those situations. Praise the Lord. So, that's pretty much going to be our lesson for today. A quick refresher on yesterday as well. The essentials of favor management. How important it is for us to be able to manage favor well. It's really anything that God gives us that we must manage well. But since we're on the subject of favor, how do we manage that favor? Many scriptures we looked at yesterday, you know, mostly around the subject of, you know, if you use well what God has given you, you get more. And if you don't, you may even lose it. And God's favor for us, when it's upon us, is supposed to be also a channel of blessing to others. We talked about some of the things that can kill favor quickly, such as fear and disobedience. Can kill that. We also talked about responsibilities that come with favor, you know, and the more responsible we show ourselves, the more God can put into our trust. You know, he that is faithful in little, be faithful also in much. The scripture proves that out. Our accountability before God is so critical, even on the subject of favor. And we talked about humility and not allowing pride to set in, avoiding being presumptuous to think that, you know, we got anything by our own strength or our own mind. No. But we must continue in the obedience and surrender and in humility unto the Lord. We talked about, you know, being grateful, practicing gratitude, handling resources wisely, and serving others. We talked about, you know, all of these things yesterday. So today, I just want to do a quick reminder. Let this mind be in you always, as you remember that it's God's favor that will speak for you. And I want us to also practice the concept of praying for God's favor. Nothing wrong with that. You can pray for it. And I want us to, there's a man in the scripture that made this prayer in First Chronicles chapter 4 and verse 10. We're going to see the prayer of what people commonly call the prayer of Jabez. They say, and Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou would bless me indeed. Well, I call that favor. And enlarge my coast, and that thy hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. I mean, when you put all of that prayer together, it's like asking for God's favor on his life. And what did the Bible say that God did? And God granted him that which he requested. So if we see that our lives appear to be lacking favor, well, you need to pray. Scripture encourages us to pray about so many things. When we are grieved and sorrowful, you should pray. When you think things are missing in your life, you should pray. When you think that favor is not working properly as it should in your life, well, you should pray. And when you are facing situations, especially situations where it appears that somebody else is going to make the decision in your matter, then you should pray for favor. We saw the story of Nehemiah in particular, and I want to, I just alluded to it briefly, but I want to cover some aspect of Nehemiah, how he prayed for favor before the king. If we have situations where we have to go before the Lord, the king, the immigration, the justice department, even, you know, law enforcement and so forth, well, you know, we should pray. And let us remember that God is able to favor us. In the book of Nehemiah chapter 1, we see the prayer that Nehemiah prayed, and what also happened, we'll see that also in the next chapter. He said, Lord, O Lord, I beseech thee. This is Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 11. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer, you know, of thy servants. First of all, he said, let your ears be attentive to my prayer, Lord, to the prayer of all my brethren who are praying along, those who desire to fear thy name and prosper. Well, prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day, grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's bearer. Well, he's praying to God that God will grant him mercy in the sight of this man, which essentially is that that man who has the power to make some judgment call or decision in that case should, that he would find favor before that king. That was the man Artaxerxes, the king. So let me read in chapter 2 of Nehemiah. And it came to pass in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes, the king, that wine was before him. He was a cupbearer. And I took up wine and gave it unto the king. Now, I had not been before time sad in his presence. In other words, up till this time, I had never had a sad countenance for the king. And you can actually do it. You're the cupbearer. You're the one supposed to cheer the king up. Well, you better not come before him with a sad countenance. But this time around, he did have a sad countenance. Wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing that thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Now, God's already walking. Remember, he prayed, help me find mercy, favor before this king. It was already, God's already touching the heart. But the man would be afraid now because he doesn't know how the king's going to react, because you can't be sad in front of the king if you are the king's cupbearer. You know, he said, therefore, I was so afraid. And I said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Then the king said unto me, for what dost thou make request? Now, listen to this. So I prayed to the God of heaven. How did he pray in that moment? Did he say, king, oh, hold on, let me go and pray? I mean, did he kneel down? Did he lift up his hands? I mean, what exactly did he do in this moment? Standing before the king, king's asking a question. You know, now remember, he already prayed before he went before the king. Let me find favor before this man. I have a request that I'm going to make in my heart. Let me find favor. He prayed already. And now the king says, well, what are you asking? What's your request? Then he said, I prayed unto God. In that moment, it wasn't any long prayer. It was just, Lord, help me. Just maybe just a few words there. Lord, help me. You know, help me. Grant me favor before this man. Probably just said those words silently in his heart. Because the king is waiting for an answer. You can't be there praying long prayer when the king asks you a question. And, you know, so I just prayed quickly in his heart. And I said unto the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant has found favor in thy sight, now this is what we're talking about, this favor, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah to the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. Why would you build the city, you know, of captivity and ruins? And the king said unto me, the queen was also sitting by him, and for how long shall your journey be? When shall thou return? Now, God's already working on the king now. You know, and I told him. You know, so it pleased the king to send me. And I set him a time. Moreover, I said unto the king, well, see, now, when you, and we have to be sensitive in the spirit. When you have prayed, like this man did, Nehemiah, before he went before the king, and when you are in that situation, and you see the hand of God moving, be sensitive to the move of his spirit. You know, because you've got an opening now. Take it. You know, and Nehemiah is going to ask all the things in his heart. He asks one thing, he's going to ask another thing, because he sees that the favor of God is there in that moment, but take advantage of it. King said, how long will you be? He told him. Well, he's waiting. I see, I got the king's attention right now. I might as well ask for something else. And I said, well, if you please the king, let letters be given me to the governors beyond the river, that they may convey me over till I come unto Judah. And let a letter be given to Asaph, the king, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace, which appertaineth to the house, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall enter into. Now, you have not only just asked for leave of absence from your post, your duty. You're now going to ask for all these other things that the king will give you, you know, give you letters for people to open up treasure and give you things for you to do this thing. Well, yeah, he asked. And that's what favor is. This is the king's favor. Remember, we talked about the king's favor. And when I mentioned Nehemiah, I just glossed over it quickly. But this is the real story. Began to ask here of the things. And remember, it is the favor of the Lord that will speak for you. That's what today's lesson is. You are in the situation where you need something, and someone else apparently looks like they are holding the key of decision. Well, let's take a lesson from Nehemiah. You pray, you ask for God's mercy before whoever that decision maker is. Sometimes you have to go before the judge. Sometimes you have to go before, you know, a panel. Sometimes you have to go before this and that. Well, you pray. And then when you are there, you believe God. And when an opportunity opens, well, you speak up on what you want. And he said, well, let there be letters given me to, you know, to all these people and so forth, convey me. And, you know, did you even give me stuff to build and to do what I want to do? Well, and he said, and the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. I wanted to underscore that note. Now, it was God's good hand, God's favor that was upon Nehemiah that made him to receive favor from the human king. First of all, there was divine favor working for Nehemiah, and that divine favor would trigger, you know, earthly favor. Now, Nehemiah needed the king's favor, the physical king, at this time, because he really couldn't do it, you know. As a Jew, you couldn't have the freedom to travel like that. And not only did the king grant him, also granted, it would grant them protection. You know, everybody convey me, said, you know, let nobody hassle me. You know, so the good hand of the Lord was upon him, and he received favor. So I want us to think about that. Remember, it's God's favor working for you to in order for you to receive favor of man. That's really what I want to talk about today. The favor of God working for you. Now, the stories that we covered before, it was the same, you know, kind of lessons. Ezra's was the same way. He also needed favor. A Shunammite woman was the same way. I mean, these were people that were looking for and asking for favor. And some people, favor was just imputed upon them. Others, they prayed and asked for it. So the ones that had favor imputed upon them that they didn't know anything about, well, one of the greatest examples was the story we looked at in 2 Samuel chapter 9 of the man called Mephibosheth. It was in David's heart to favor somebody. And the man that was the beneficiary of that favor knew nothing about it. You know, I mean, he was a miserable person, had nothing going for him. The Bible even describes the name of the place that he was in as Lodabar, which means a place of darkness and no light, a place of despair and no hope, a place of nothing happening, regret and everything. I mean, just, you know, a place, you know, where someone is in bondage, negativity or captivity, just with them there and nothing happening. But the favor of God located him. In some cases, people actually stepped up to ask for the favor. Like this story we just read, Ezra also. His story was also similar, so I won't read to it, but consider the story of the Shunammite woman again. She stepped forth to ask for favor. And remember how God's favor worked in her case. In order for the favor of God to work for her, divine appointments were set in place by God. What's a divine appointment? Well, a divine appointment is a meeting that is arranged by God where one or both parties have no clue that God is the one that's arranging it. Yet God is the one that's arranging it. That's a divine appointment. In this case, you know, the part of it that was divinely appointed was the timing. You know, the timing of this woman arriving before the king, you know, to ask her petition. It was the timing. The timing was critical. I mean, she could have arrived at any time and asked her request of the king, you know, and, it would have been up to the king to grant or not grant. Today, remember, I'm focusing on when you are needing to ask something from people in authority, you know, or you are, it looks like your fate is in the balance, is in their hands, but it really isn't. It's really in God's hands. And we have to remember that it's the favor of God that will speak for you in that situation. So, this woman in 2 Kings chapter 8, when she was about to come back to ask for her land, which she had abandoned for 7 years, the man of God, Elisha, had warned her of a severe warning that was coming, and he told her, you know, go and sojourn wherever you may sojourn. Because the Lord had called for a severe famine that's coming upon the land 7 years. So this woman, according to the word of the man of God, took her family and went to the land of the Philistines for 7 years. Now, I don't know how many days journey this, but when she heard that everything was good, she returned, you know, to her own place to ask the king for her house and for her land, which she had abandoned. And by their tradition, the state would have taken it over. That's why she had to go to the king. You can't just go back there. But see how God orchestrated this moment of her requesting this thing from the king. How did God orchestrate it? Well, before she arrived, the king was talking to people around the palace. And there was Gehazi there, who had been the servant of Elisha. So the king asked him, "Tell me, I pray thee, all the great things that Elisha had done." You know, so the man started to tell him. Now, neither of these two people knew that the woman was coming. The woman herself, she knew she was coming, but she didn't know what would precede her arrival. And this is the divine appointment. This is how God's favor will speak for you. God's favor was going to speak for this woman in the sense that the timing was orchestrated superbly by God. As the king was asking these questions, say, you know, "I've heard that Elisha had done some great things. Tell me." This man said, "Yeah." And I was around him. So he began to tell all the great things that Elisha had done. And it came to the point of the story, or the stories, where he was telling how Elisha had restored a dead body to life. Now, this is how God's favor speaks for you. God, you know, masterly orchestrating the situation behind the scenes, planning it perfectly. It was in the very moment, and this woman had been traveling for days to get there, but it was in the very moment that she would arrive at the court before the king. They would let her in. It would be at that very moment that this Gehazi will be speaking about the miracle of her child being raised to life. Now, you can just imagine how significant that was. As the man was telling the story to the king, the woman came to cry to the king for her land and her house. And the man that was telling the story said, "My lord, my king, this is the woman that I was just telling you about, and this is her son." Now, the impact of that divine arrangement, orchestrated by the favor of God, you know, gave this woman whatever she wanted. Because if she had appeared before the king 2 weeks before or 2 weeks after, it might not have made that kind of impact. But because at that very instant, and so the king said, "Well, tell me, is it true what she said, this and this?" He said, "Yeah, this is my son." And, you know, as she began to ask before she even finished, because the king is now so engaged, you know, enthused by this woman's, you know, story and everything, and seeing her dead son, by, you know, that was dead beside her, grown now, that he was inspired to grant her anything she wanted. Anything. Appointed a certain officer, saying, "Restore all that was hers, and all the fruits of the field from the day she left." Now, that's a surplus. She could have got the land and the house back, but she got it surplus. Because when she abandoned those things, well, the state took it over. It took over the house, took over the land, At one time, she thought she was doing well for herself. When Elisha told his servant, ask this woman who's always been kind to us what she wants. Does she need somebody to speak on her behalf to the king? This was something that happened before she had that child. And her answer was, no, I dwell in the midst of my people. I'm good. You know, I don't need anything from that king. Then she thought she didn't, you know. But now she had lost everything and she needed something. And God timed it perfectly. Remember, it is God's favor that will speak for you in the situations that you find yourself. That's it. What about the story of Joseph that we told? There's one aspect that I want to retell to highlight this God's favor speaking for you in arranging it perfectly. When it was time that the word of the Lord would fetch Joseph out of his own Lodabar, it happened that he was in prison and looked like he was going to be there for a long time. And he had appealed to one man called the butler, who was the king's cupbearer. You know, hey, when you get back there, speak a good word for me. Perhaps if it comes from you in the moment when you are, sharing him with wine and everything, you just tell him about me and maybe he will pardon me, look for some clemency he was looking. But the man forgot him for 2 more years. And see how God was orchestrating it. Now, if the butler had returned right away, if the butler had spoken to the king, Pharaoh, right away after he returned from prison about a man, you know, that spoke this and this and did this, and it might not have had the impact that it had on the king. So even though the butler did evil, even by his own admission, and said, I remember my fault this day, because he promised he was going to do it, and he didn't do it for 2 years. You know, that's how people are. They forget you. And I spoke yesterday, look, when you receive favor, don't forget others. This man forgot Joseph. And, the encouragement that Joseph had given him and all of that, and the request that Joseph had made of him, he forgot. But God used it to Joseph's advantage. God waited until Pharaoh needed something that only Joseph could provide. See? So there came to a point in time that Pharaoh dreamed his dreams. And he asked all his soothsayers, astrologers, and every one of them, to tell him, the meaning of the dream. He told them the dream, but nobody could interpret it. And the butler heard. And the king was, saying, wow, whatever the king was saying about this thing, the butler said, well, if I may put in a word here, there is a man that I met in prison. You will remember, O Pharaoh, when you cast me, angry with the baker and myself and cast us into prison. Well, there we met this young man, of the Hebrews and different things. And he was able to interpret our dreams. We both had a dream one day. We told him. And he interpreted the dream. And he fell to us even as he interpreted. Baker was hanged by Pharaoh after 3 days, just like the man said, from the point of that dream. And me, you restored, just like the man said. And he said, let Pharaoh now fetch this man, and he will tell Pharaoh the interpretation of the dream. Now, God's now setting Joseph up. The favor of God is now finally going to speak. Now, favor had been directing his path. Favor was upon him. He was getting, recognition wherever he went. Even when he was a slave, they made him master. They made him head. Even when he was in prison, they made him you know, like the one that was in charge of the prisoners, and he went around and so on and so forth. Favor was speaking. But now, the most significant moment of his life that would bring to pass the things that God already deposited in him and showed him way back when he was a young man, or you're much younger. That moment that the gifting of God that was in him would speak for him, God went ahead and arranged it in a way that the king was desperate. He was desperate, and nobody else that could tell him. And so they went and fetched Joseph out of prison. God's favor fixing to speak for him. They fetched Joseph and get it cleaned up before he come before the king and everything. Comes before the king. King tells him, and of course, brings out the interpretation and also a load of wisdom on what to do about it. You know, the spirit of counsel, the spirit of might, the spirit of understanding was on Joseph. Even in that moment, the favor of God would speak for him. And something took over this Pharaoh. Something just took him over. The Bible says the Lord, he directs the heart of the king this way and that way. Well, the Lord was that something that took over the mind of Pharaoh that day. As Pharaoh listened to interpretation and the wisdom that followed, the knowledge, the grace by which Joseph delivered it, my goodness. By this time already, Joseph's dreams, I mean the ability to interpret dreams, had improved. It had become razor sharp, you know. And he brought it out perfectly and also gave wisdom. And then he gave instruction to the king. He said, look, let the king search out a man, you know, that can do this and appoint him to be diligent over all these things. And in the days of plenty, let him do this, set aside 20% and so on and so forth. We learn a lot of things from those stories too. Even how you should save in the time of plenty, because the time of want was going to come. And when the king heard all of it, God's favor spoke for Joseph. The king made an open decree which nobody else could touch. And he put his signature on it by even putting his ring into Joseph's hand. I am Pharaoh, he said. That's it. That settles it. You know, you are Joseph. And without you shall no man lift a finger in Egypt. Only in the throne will I be greater than you. As far as everything else goes, you are running the place. My goodness. The favor of God speaking finally for Joseph. Now remember, you yourself, it will be the favor of God that will speak for you, whichever one of these situations and stories that we have told mirrors your situation. God's favor will speak for you. And in a moment or in a bit, we're going to pray for that favor. The other day, the first day of this favor series, I prayed over the people and asked them to pray. But today I want us to pray again. And I just reminded you of the prayer of this man called Jabez, how he prayed for favor, and how God should pray that God should protect him, that God should enlarge his coast, and God should do this and this and this. Well, it was a good thing, it was a good prayer, and God granted him his request, we're told. Nothing wrong with it. He prayed about it, you know. He didn't try to go about trying to be deceitful and trying to supplant people in order to get ahead. He just prayed that God should help him. And God helped him. God granted him the favor that he requested. Nehemiah prayed for that favor. He got it. Ezra prayed for that favor. He got it too. And this Shunammite woman, she prayed for it. And as she was going, she probably was praying for the God of heaven. He said, you know, that part wasn't recorded, but I guarantee you, she was praying. And she was going back. Let me find favor before this king that he would grant. There was no guarantee that the king would return her land and her house to her. And then she had to have been praying about it in her mind during that journey. And God, who is always listening. The Bible said the Lord will hear the prayer of the destitute. Well, when you are destitute like that, and it seems like, you know, there is no hope, you know, your future or the decision is hanging in the balance in the hands of somebody else. Remember, God's favor can speak for you. That's right. So that's the part, short exhortation, but that's the part that I want us to consider today. It's not always, you know, that you will get an advantage, a natural advantage or not. God may give you that. That may be part of his favor too. But even when you are at a disadvantage, you know, and it looks like the deck is stacked against you, well, remember, it is God that will speak. I mean, it is his favor that will speak for you. In the book of Psalm 102 and verse 17, we are told that God will hear the prayer of the destitute. When you find yourself in that situation, may be called destitute, remember that God will hear your prayer. Let's read Psalm 102 verse 17. The Lord will regard the prayer of the destitute. He will not despise their prayer. Huh? Glory to God. So, destitute means, you know, there's nothing else that you can grasp on. True, there's nothing else you can lay that you have nothing. No recourse, nothing else that you can, that can come to your aid. And it looks like it's finished, you're over. I mean, it's over and it's finished, but it's never over and it's never finished as long as God is still in that situation. God will always have that final word, you know, and save the day. He always does. And his favor will speak for you. Today, we're going to pray for favor over your situations. Those situations, you know, that have been lingering and in the balance, and maybe even getting worse. Well, God's favor will have to speak for you. And it is indeed his favor that will speak for you. Favor in this case means that God will have to rearrange things, and he can do it too. You know, there are some things that the Bible used to say. There's a phrase that the Bible used to say. It said that the word of the Lord might be fulfilled, which he spake concerning this and this, then certain things begins to come to pass. Even in the case, you know, of the word that God spoke to Cyrus the king, in order that that word might come to pass, then God began to stir up the heart of yet another king to say, well, who is left among the people of God? Let his God be with him. Let him stand up and build the house. Well, it was God trying to fulfill something, and then he stirred up something else. Well, let me put it to us this way, that the word of the Lord to you today might be fulfilled, that God's favor will speak for you. God will orchestrate events. He's already doing it, but he'll bring it to a climax. He will orchestrate events that will align perfectly. And when it is time, you know, you will just see. I mean, here's one more story before we pray. How God orchestrated the timing in the case of the story of Haman and Mordecai. In order for the Lord to show that he's able to turn the tables in the favor of those whose hearts are walking before him in integrity, he said, you know, he'll set a table before you in the presence of your enemies. And in this case, cause your enemies to be the one to serve you on that table. God timed this perfectly. Not only was God going to raise up Mordecai, not only was God going to save the Jews, but God was going to disgrace Haman in doing it. God was going to make Haman the man that will pronounce all the blessings upon Mordecai. You know, in order for all of that to happen, God timed things perfectly. In order for the favor of God to speak for Mordecai, he was always at the gate. I mean, he was despised and looked down upon. And this man was telling him, bow the knee to me. He said, no, I will only bow the knee to the God of heaven. And the man hated him in the more every day. But in order for God's favor to elevate him, God arranged it one night, one particular night. The angel of the Lord troubled the king and he couldn't sleep. That's right. It took away his sleep. Because God was, you know, putting these things together in place, lining them up like that. And when the king couldn't sleep, bring me something to read. This is how God's favor was going to speak, both for the Jews and especially for Mordecai. Mordecai was going to be elevated and God was fixing to do it. So he took away the king's sleep. King asked for something to read. Of all things, they could have brought him anything to read. They brought him the chronicles of events happening around the kingdom to read. Now, I mean, that's not light reading. That could have been serious reading. And as he was about to read, he found the place. Now, that's the angel of the Lord directing all these things. Same angel of the Lord that took away his sleep. Same angel of the Lord that directed the people to bring him what to read. Same angel of the Lord guided him to that place. You know, he found it. Those books were large, but he found this place where, you know, was written of the couple of times that Mordecai had advised, you know, the king's secret service protocol, on, you know, assassination attempts and saved the king. And they wrote it. And when the king read this story, he said, wow, I never knew this. But yeah. So what was done for this man that did this thing? I said, well, nothing. Nothing. Wow. Because the king did not command anything. Say, well, I'm going to do something about it right now. You know, God arranging everything. Now, this thing happened the night, overnight. He couldn't sleep. And this other man that came early in the morning to ask of the king permission to destroy all the Jews. See how God orchestrated it. He timed it perfectly in the very moment that the king was about to ask this question. I need to do something about this. He says, who's in the court? And when I read the story, I'm like, why are you asking? There's chamberlains in front of you right now that you're talking to. Why are you asking who's in the court? But God planned it that way. The man just arrived to ask of the king permission to destroy the Jews. And he said, oh, Mordecai is there. Ah, Mordecai, the favored man. Come. You know, so king's asking, listen, if the king wants to do something and promote somebody, what should the king do? What do you think? So Mordecai, and the king was probably thinking Mordecai would just say, oh yeah, well, why don't you favor him like you favored me and invite him to these banquets and things like that and give him, you know, some honor here and there. Well, or give him some liberties, you know. But Haman, thinking in his heart that the king, who else would the king want to honor? This Haman is thinking that. Who else would he want to honor? He said, well, so he called out so many things, even ridiculous things, because he thought it was coming to him. Haman said to the king, well, let the king give him his chariot, his second chariot. Let the king give him his robe. Let the king give him his ring. Crown, everything. And let there be proclamation made throughout the city of all, you know, that everybody, because he's thinking that this Mordecai must bow the knee to me eventually. So let there be pronunciation made that everybody must bow the knee to this man that the king is promoting. So Haman said all these things to the king. And the king said, wow, that's really good. Is that it? He said, yeah. Okay. All right. Well, as you have spoken it, so let it be done. And you see to it, and you be the one that will do it, and do these things that you have said unto Mordecai. You know, now that is God's favor speaking for Mordecai. In a situation where somebody come to the king to request to kill him and all his people, the favor of God orchestrating things behind. God's favor will speak for you. Doesn't matter what evil people are planning. And this man with shame, you know, with shame, he had to go to his house that day because he had to do all these things. He had to bow the knee to Mordecai. He had to proclaim him as the king's chosen. He had to parade him around the city. When he got home, his king, his friends told him, if Mordecai be of the seed of the Jews, and now that you have begun to fall before him, you will not prevail against him. Glory to God. That was God's favor speaking for Mordecai. And this evil Haman, you know, God overturned his plot, brought it upon his own head, and with his own mouth, he promoted the person that he wanted to destroy. God's favor can speak for you in amazing ways. I'm going to pray a short prayer over the room, and then I want us to pray an old-fashioned prayer call. Pray like Jabez prayed. You know, let me give you another prayer that we are going to pray. A declaration that David made in the book of Psalm chapter 90 and verses 16 and 17. Here's what he said. He said, make us, well, let me even start from verse 14. Oh, satisfy us early with thy mercy. Anytime you're praying for mercy, it's like the favor of God, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. And you can pray for that. It's a prayer. Satisfy us, Lord. And make us glad. That's a prayer. According to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Turn the evil around, Lord, and make us glad. According to the number of the days that we have seen evil, so let those days of good be multiplied unto us. You can pray that prayer. And let thy walk appear unto thy servants. You can pray that prayer. It's a prayer. You know. And let thy glory appear unto their children. You can pray that prayer. You get it. Your children will get it too. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. You can pray that prayer. And establish thou the work of our hands upon us. You can pray that prayer. Yea. work of our hands established our aid. These things are in the scriptures. You can pray these prayers. And today we're going to pray these prayers. We're going to ask the God of heaven for favor. That's right. Even if you didn't have it before, well, you're going to have it now because you ask. Now, remember Matthew 21 and 22. What things soever you shall ask in prayer, believing. And Jabez, he asked, and he believed, and he received. Now, whatever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. When it is according to God's will. Well, it is according to God's will to do you good. Jeremiah 29 and 11. My thoughts and plans towards you are to do you good, not evil, all your days, so that you may receive the expected end. God already said he's going to do you good. Well, so tap into it. Praise the Lord. Father, I thank you, Lord, that your favor will speak for us in difficult situations. That's right. You have a case that is to go before the judge. And all the evidence they've thrown away that would have caused your case to be exonerated. But God's favor will speak for you. Hallelujah. Even when it looks like it's all over, there is no light, sitting in darkness. Micah said, when I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light unto me. The favor of God will locate you even in that situation. Locate your son. It will locate you. It will locate your situation. It will locate your family member. Whatever that situation is, blessed be the name of the Lord. Father, we pray for a release of God's favor upon our lives. We're instructed today to ask. Say, ask. Jesus even one time told his disciples, at that time they hadn't known how to be asking things in prayer using his name. So he taught them. He said, well, he that told you ask me nothing. Well, ask that you shall receive and your joy may be full. Well, we have been asking. We know now how to ask. But we can ask some more. So that our joy will be full. When you see the favor of God working, like Nehemiah's case, he asked one thing, he saw God's favor was working, and he asked for some more stuff. When you're on a roll, keep on rolling with the Lord. The favor of God will speak for you. Remember, it's his favor that will speak for you. Father, we thank you. We'll give you, Lord, the praise. Let the favor of God now begin to speak for your people in their various situations. Hallelujah. Even on your job, Holy Spirit, tell me now to say this. You have a situation which is impossible on your job. You have some, you know, some meanness, and people who wouldn't let you get ahead. Well, favor of God will speak for you. God will change that situation. Remove that would-be destiny destroyer. You don't even have to pray that God will remove them. God's already doing it. And all of a sudden, he will open opportunities. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. And situations that you may be in may not be, you know, for your good at the moment. But God will turn it around, make it work together for your good. All things, the good, the bad, the ugly together, they will eventually work out for your good. God will blend it. Just like the chef, when he's cooking, he blends all kinds of things. Some savory things, some bitter things, you know, some sweet things, you know, some spicy things, you know, some not so tasty things by themselves. He blends it all together. And then out comes this delicious thing. The Lord grant you favor even as you pray today. And let the, you know, let the ear of the Lord be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and thy servants. That's what Nehemiah said. And I pray today, Lord, let thine ear be attentive to the prayer of this thy servant for all your children and for the prayers of these thy servants and your children that will come hereafter. And let thy word be verified, which you have spoken today, that the favor of God will speak for your people and calling them to remember it. I pray, Lord, that that which you have spoken by your mouth this day, let it be verified by your hand in the lives of your children, even as it is this day, to the glory of God. We give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.